Hey friends, Chloe and Michael here, the founders of Mindfully Loved and your co-hosts of the Mindfully Loved podcast.
Created with our love of discussing all things healing, growth and slow living, we hope to inspire your own journey toward being a better parent, partner and person.
Join us for both interview and discussion-based episodes designed to challenge those unhelpful thought patterns and inspire the positive and sustainable change you need right now.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to another podcast episode with Chloe and Michael.
We're so grateful that you've joined us again. If you have been joining us from the first couple of episodes, hopefully you have a bit of a clearer picture as to who Mindfully Loved are, who we are individually, and who we are together with our partnership. But also, we'd love to start discussing all things Mindfully Loved related with you. So today we've chosen a particular topic that we might be slightly passionate about, would you say?
Just a little bit. Today we're talking all about self-love. So we're going to dive into what self-love means to you, to me, and, you know, to all of you. And I guess why we really kind of put so much attention into self-love.
Why self-love?
Well, I guess
that's a good jump off point.
Yeah.
So why self-love? Actually, I'm curious to know through your journeys, if self-love was something that you came across that resonated, that you thought this is something I need to attack head on here, or was there experience first? You know, I know for myself, self-love was part of the discovery journey. It wasn't necessarily something I read first, but it was something I perhaps discovered within myself and then found the defining word.
Yes.
How's that journey for you? How did you understand?
For me, I think I firstly understood self-love when, while working at a school with kids, I realized that most of the issues that kept coming up for children, it might have been behavioral issues, you know, feeling angry, not being able to regulate their emotions, lack of confidence, it all stemmed back all the way down to not feeling loved. They didn't love themselves. They didn't feel worthy enough. And, you know, the moment we fill that cup of theirs and teach them how to fill their cup themselves, you start seeing this person flourishing. And I think now with Mindfully Loved, you know, we're noticing, you know, it is in our mission statement. It is one of our values that we kind of focus on a lot, because through exploration of everything, we see that it's a pretty important core thing within us that we all have. It might be, you know, less in some people, more in others, but I feel like the more we start fueling that and feel that, our best version of ourselves comes out.
Yeah. So growing up, I suppose my my understanding of self-love was self-esteem, effectively. And self-esteem is probably the closest term you'd see in any, you know, particularly Western health or Western medicine-based texts. It's going to be talking about self-esteem, particularly, in, you know, with regards to children, which is the particular topic we're passionate about. So what, I suppose, what I'd like to sort of discuss between us two is what separates or distinguishes self-esteem from self-love, and why is self-love so important?
You know, the same thing happens. It comes with self-esteem, self-confidence, self-love, worthiness. For me, self-love, it's the purest form of love. Self-love encompasses the way you talk to yourself, the way you treat yourself. Once you have that, it encompasses the way you live life. So I guess if you think about who you love, you know, right, you know, the most in your life, it might be a pet, it might be a parent, it might be a friend, a partner, whatever, and just imagine that person in front of you. Yeah, and then think of all those things that you say to yourself or do to your body or do to yourself. You would never do those things to the person that you truly love. So really finding that love within yourself. So see yourself as this amazing, beautiful person that you adore, and you bring compassion, you bring kindness to your words, to your thinking. Yeah, allow yourself to feel, allow yourself. And it's such a hard thing, because we don't learn how to do those things. And the only way we can learn how to love ourselves is by modeling. By seeing how our parents treat themselves. This is one of the things that we started, you know, one of the, I guess, main reasons that we started Mindfully Loved. But going back to, you know, what self-esteem and what self-confidence comes, I feel like you can have confidence, but not self-love. You can have self-esteem, but no self-love. because self-esteem and self-confidence comes by the ability to do things.
Mm-hmm.
So you might be great at drawing, but you might still not have any love for yourself, and you might, you know, be like hateful towards yourself and mean to yourself and be so judgmental in the drawings. The same thing happens with, you know, a lot of athletes that we know. They're great athletes, and they have confidence in playing those sports or doing those sports. But when you actually talk to them, they put so much pressure into themselves, unhealthy pressure, you know, and it doesn't come from compassion. You know? And it's filled with guilt and shame and all those things.
Yeah, the common sort of misconception, I suppose, I had with regards to self-love growing up was about it being, you know, related in a sense to arrogance.
Yes,
I particularly grew up in a culture or an environment that really honors modesty and humbleness. Yep. So to be seen as giving at the expense of yourself is the ultimate sacrifice, is particularly with, you know, Catholic-based cultures and societies, it was very much about what you can sacrifice. So it was suffer in silence. Do those sorts of things. So the common misconception I had was that self-love was arrogance. I recall mocking each other in school.
Oh, you just love yourself.
Yeah, you love yourself.
Oh, they love you. Love yourself. Yeah.
And in hindsight, I mean, you're looking at it through the eyes of an adult. You go, how wonderful of a thing.
But as you said, it was kind of like, they love themselves so much. It was a negative thing saying that. And as you said, I don't know if it was generation just from us. We're in our 30s now. But as you said, modesty was a big thing.
Yeah.
We didn't want to come out as, loving ourselves.
Yeah.
As we wanted to be modest. We wanted, to minimize our successes, minimize our issues. So we can just we don't talk about ourselves much. We don't show off because then they'll think that we love ourselves. Yeah. Like, it's such a bad thing.
And it's quite ingrained deep down, I suppose, as well. When you see, my mother is as selfless as it comes, and she constantly is about wanting to serve and please other people.
And we valued that kind of mother.
Absolutely, and don't we all? I mean, it's the model example that we have in front of us, and. I suppose for our own journey, for understanding what self-love was, it was, it was seeing our grandparents beginning to suffer physically and mentally in their older age and still doing so at the expense of their health.
Yeah.
And I suppose as we're starting to see our similar peer group go through those experiences as well is witnessing the modeling that occurs there in and particularly the vocalizing in sort of emphasizing like it's not about me anymore, it's about my child and the concerns that sort of
exactly. And I think that this is a societal problem. What makes a good parent? A parent that puts the kids, the family first. And it sounds amazing. It's like, you put everything. It's not about me now. It's about my kids. I would die for my kids. I would do everything for my family and kids. And, I think we glamorize it. You're such a great parent because you do those things. Where now we start noticing that we went through all that. Our parents were like that. And they did everything. They worked hard their whole lives. We didn't see them. So they can give all those things to their kids because it wasn't about me, it was about my kids. However, what we don't really realize, we get the idea of love from our parents, what we think. But what we didn't see, we didn't see our parents modeling, we didn't see our grandparents modeling that self-love. And therefore, we don't know how to give that to ourselves. We don't know how to kindly and so lovingly talk to ourselves or treat ourselves loving. Because we've seen our parents and grandparents really put themselves, we would walk all over them. Because we knew that the moment we said, I'm hungry, I want food, they would drop everything and do that for us. But I think as we've learned, the last few years, that it's not sustainable.
Yeah.
And we're not raising future generations that are sort of loving.
At the end of the day, we model exactly what we've seen as children. Experiencing that and witnessing it in our own homes and I suppose as we got older, really understanding the dynamic of why that has occurred. It wasn't just my parents. It was my grandparents. And I never got to meet, having been born in another country, I never got to meet my great grandparents. But I get that feeling deep down that was probably the situation there too. And I think understanding why that was the experience they had is one of the most important things in understanding then self-love, you know, as a psychologist. Through your studies, you know, what do you think the reason is that they may have embodied a life of selflessness as well? You know, is there something within their cultural society, for instance, that honored that as well?
Of course. And, you know, as humans, we are drawn to pain. We're drawn to drama. When you ask someone how the day was, they're going to focus on that one thing that was negative because they want to show you how hard it is for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we all do it. We're all guilty of doing that. Because we want people to show us love. We want people to show us empathy, you know, and sympathy. And, oh, poor you, you're doing it hard, but, you know, well done.
Yeah.
So it's something that generationally, especially back in the old days, where growing in Sabbath, it was all about physical. Being out in the fields, going, and the harder you work, the more food you will be able to put on your family's plate and things like that. But we don't realize now, it's very different, but we still have that thinking for back then when there was poverty and all those things. So now it's all about, I think for us now, it's more about what identifies me as a good parent. And if I start giving myself that time as a parent, I'm not a good mom. And it's starting to slowly change, and we are promoting more self-care for parents, especially new parents, and recognizing that that is okay. Give yourself that time.
So you and I discuss often the benefits of self-love and what it means to fill your cup. So I suppose I wouldn't mind sort of discussing what that means, how we do it ourselves as well. But yeah, more importantly, what you're going to see within your environment, you know, particularly for people who are expecting children sooner or going to, you know, move down that path. What would be the benefit of filling your cup, so to speak, with self-love and understanding the benefit of self-love? How is that going to benefit yourself and the people around you?
Of course. Well, different people identify self-love very differently. But for me, it always starts with that self-talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and obviously I haven't gone through that journey of being pregnant and having a child, but we know that it's a big change, again, physically, emotionally, hormonally, everything, especially for a mom, but as well as a dad. So it's very important during that time to start creating a compassionate relationship with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a self-loving relationship. Mm-hmm. And imagine having a little friend inside your mind that loves you, adores you unconditionally. Yeah. And every time you know, speak badly about yourself, this person jumps like, hey, you know, you know, let's be kind to ourselves. Let's be enjoy what's happening right now. And it starts as simple as becoming aware of our thoughts and then starts with shifting the way we talk to ourselves.
Yeah.
And then you'll just see that then becoming the way we treat ourselves, you know, how we treat our emotions, how we treat, you know, our everyday life. And allowing us to have that time.
It's
so important to start that work before you have children. Because you want it to become an unconscious habit.
Mm-hmm.
You want it to be natural to you. Mm-hmm. So when you do have children and you are exhausted and you are stressed, even though they might not understand it, even as a baby, what you're telling yourself, you know, it might be, I'm such a bad mom. You know, the energy there, the tonality of that is affecting the baby. And they start registering the way you talk to yourself.
Mm.
And they're learning, oh, mommy's talking to herself like that, so that's what I should be talking to myself about. But then, you know, growing up into, you know, they hear the conversation, they see the way you see yourself in the mirror. They see the way you complain about the clothes fitting or how you can't do something or how, you know, you're not smart to complete this. All that language that we just see in passing, we don't realize how much that's affecting of children.
Self-talk is everything within your belief system as well. So if you're going to achieve something, if you don't talk to yourself in a way that shows belief that you're going to achieve that, you know, I think time and time again, we see people sort of falling through those cracks.
Yeah.
So again, understanding the concept of self-love, it's got nothing to do with, you know, it's a really crazy thought, I suppose, for new parents as well, who aren't sort of versed in this to say, I'm not supposed to put myself on par with my child. You know, this new being now is I'm completely responsible for it. So therefore, everything I have must go to this child. Yeah. But, you know, from what we understand, from the ages of 0 to 7, the most formative years of your life, not just the words that you're using is what they're absorbing. We call them sponges and we say they're taking this on board. Not just the words that you're using in talking to other people is something that's going to form their conditioning for as they get older, which is the things that you and I are facing now as we embark sort of on our journey to healing and growth and everything like that. But that environment in itself, everything they do, everything you do and how you treat yourself is something that they're going to model in their, you know, our conditioning comes out in those times of stress, in those times of tiredness, in those times of fatigue, which is clearly most prominent shortly after having a child. So what do we need to do to ensure we're more often than not in that beautiful state and demonstrating through action in front of our children our love for ourselves as well and why that's important.
And that comes again from simple as just being kind to yourself. You know, when you're having a newborn and you're looking at their house and it's a mess and you have to shower and you have to really kind of prioritize what's really important for me at this moment. You know, don't try to be perfect. Don't try to, you know, accomplish everything. Be kind to yourself. Be compassionate to yourself. Give yourself a break. But then it also comes with relationships. Again, if you're really focusing on that self-love and self-compassion, the moment your partner might say something that you're like, nah. Like it's, you know, I'm putting myself out here now. I'm putting a boundary. I need to say something for my own self-love. Even just by having those conversations with your partner, your child models that.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. So always remember how you want your child to act when they're older.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So having that thought at the back of your mind constantly. Self-love can mean so many different things for people. Yeah. You know, for me, I think the most important to keep it is that self-compassion. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How would you treat the one person that you love the most in this life?
Yeah.
And treat the same to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That means no put downs, no negative talk. Be your own cheerleader, be your own coach that you always just support.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that small. Self-love doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
It's a process. And there's days that, you know, that self-love might be lower than others. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. And the important part is when those days happen, it's to even more be more compassionate. Okay, today I noticed that I wasn't as self-loving to myself as I wanted to be, but that's okay. Tomorrow is a new day. I can try again rather than going to that guilt trip of cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, as your child grows up and talking about new parents now, but start using their voice and their hands to communicate things. Don't be scared to put those boundaries. You know, if a child hits you because they want to say something and they can't use their words because they don't have the vocabulary yet, you know, be able to tell them, I won't let you hurt mommy. Show them how important your body is. Because by doing that, you're teaching them how to respond when someone else goes to hit them. Yeah. Little things like that. As a pregnant woman, of course, be kind to yourself. Accept those changes in your body and be in awe and amazed at what's happening in your body. Be kind to yourself. Notice those thoughts. Mm. Notice what you tell yourself and challenge those thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Modeling the values you want to live by couldn't be more important, I suppose. Yeah. You know, we all know you can tell someone something. The ability for them to really take that on board and make that change within their life versus modeling for someone and showing them how you've done it and achieved that creates the realm of possibility in their mind that, hey, what they're saying maybe does have a difference and can make a change. So how do I explore that a little bit further? I think is particularly powerful.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
In terms of, you know, what we do for ourselves as well, and you know, this is something I feel is really important to speak about, is self-love falling under that banner of what we're doing for our mental health, you know, redefining what health means to us in this holistic sense as well. We must apply all the similar principles. So I want, if you have these set ideals or standards for how you want your health to be, I don't want to snack after 8 p.m. I don't want to, you know, whatever it is. We know that what we need to do is to create an environment that's conducive to that change as well. So we need to ensure, you know, we're not leaving packets of chips around the house and things like that that are going to help us fall into those traps. And through the regularity and the training of doing so, you can slowly develop these changes. So I just want to emphasize that self-love doesn't grow just by all of a sudden today I'm going to change the way I talk to myself.
Yeah, it does. I love myself instantly. Yeah,
it is an embodiment.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty about that is, just like any physical training, you know, working out might be really difficult for me because I've never done bench press before. But after the third or fourth week, you start finding, before you've even started the set, you're already comfortable with being in that space. You already know how to make that change quite quickly. Just like meditation, mental health takes routine and regularity in training. Oh, of course. So the beauty about trying to find your strategies to self-love can also be, it's not going to be perfect right away.
No. And that's what makes you human. And even accepting and loving that imperfection of yours, you know, loving your, I guess, accepting your insecurities, loving your weaknesses, and knowing that, oh, like I love my brokenness. Well, I love that, you know, and accepting that you might not be good at something yet, you know, so even having that growth mindset. But I guess when we talk about what are some things that you can do for your self-love, you know, I see so many things online now that take a bath, you know, some self-loving ideas, you know, take a bath, self-care, self-love, you know, pamper yourself, go get a massage. I don't think there's a wrong way. It's whatever really your soul needs at that point, when your heart needs at that point. For some, it might be a nice bath with candles around. For others, it might be exercising, walking, running. For others, it might be really meditating and diving into some old trauma, healing, being vulnerable, feeling those emotions. The secret is doing all those things non-judgmentally, without guilt, and really just with acceptance and love. Doing those things because you believe and you tell yourself that you deserve to do those things. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to feel loved within yourself. And you are worthy.
Refocusing those reward centers as well on sustainable changes, though. Also, like you said, you know, you found three very, really wholesome tasks there. And I think it's quite important in that respect as well to find something that's, you know, again, holistically conducive to that change. Some days, yes, we're exhausted at the end of the day. I'm going to treat myself, you know, to some self-care. Yes, on some occasions, you know, have that glass of wine, have that piece of chocolate, whatever it is. Do it mindfully, do it acceptingly, do it non-judgmentally.
Exactly.
But knowing also, you know, if instead, you know, it's three beers, or if instead it's that, you know, packet of chips or whatever it is, knowing also that, how does this fit in sustainably with the goals that I'm trying to achieve. So ensuring that your reward centers are also focused on things that are sustainable to that growth. And again, you know, not something that just changes and occurs overnight. It does take that practice and it does take that work towards. All of this stuff is a journey, as we know. So again, creating that environment that's really conducive to sustainable and healthy growth when finding self-love.
I guess as we finish up, what do you do for self-love?
What do I do for self-love?
Well, I guess what's been the biggest thing around self-love for you?
You know, there are so many things I do throughout my day. I'll talk about just one in particular, because this has been the longest single-serving strategy I've always had to self-love: health and fitness and wellness. I am a physically active person. I know when I'm physically active, I know I am out of my mind in a safe and sustainable way.
Yeah.
I know I am, although I'm present in the moment because I'm focusing on a particular task, I know it's exerting energy in a positive way. I know by the time I step out of it, and I'm not talking competitive sports. I'm talking about, you know, whether it's a run, a gym workout, a walk or whatever it is, but it's that activity. Rewarding myself and coming out of that feeling really positive about a positive change I've made in my life as well, and patting myself on the back and going, you deserve that activity, you deserve that positive sort of change in your body and in your brain. What about yourself?
I think for me, like, the journey has been around self-talk. And I think I'm proud of myself to be able to become aware of my thoughts more and challenge them and be kind to myself. That has been a big thing the last 2 years, really being kind to myself. You know, I rarely feel guilt nowadays, and I love it.
Perfect.
Yeah, I love it. But also nature. Nature for me is an interesting one, but I feel so much love towards myself when I'm out in nature. And I don't know if it's just the connection, and I just feel so empowered and so special being out in nature.
Yeah. Connection. Very much connection. Exactly. Seeing the beauty in nature can very much help you see the beauty in yourself, because we are very much a part of it.
Yes, that's for sure. Beautiful. We would love for all of our listeners to share what self-love means to you. Feel free to reach out to us on our DMs, our email, and just let us know, what does self-love mean to you? We would love to know.
One of our favorite topics. So yeah, and it you know, it doesn't deserve one particular definition, and that's why tell us yours. Yeah. We you know, I'm sure Chloe and I's differs in the slightest of ways as well. It's all nuances at the end of the day, but we know, you know, what the important part of it is anyway. So thank you so much again. We are so totally grateful for you listening to us and listening to us share our thoughts. So make sure you tune in again.
Much love to you all.
Yeah. Much love. See you guys.
Bye.